It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of news and conversation on everything regarding hemp, CBD, and the ever-growing new cannabis industry in Alaska. It's The Buzz, brought to you by Aurora Apothecary, downtown on 2nd Avenue. Now, with this week's Buzz, here's your host, Kemp Langford, on 97.5 FM KFAR Radio.
Welcome to The Buzz on KFAR Radio. I'm your host, Kemp Langford, and today with me is Crystal Collier.
Hey there.
Joining us, and along with my guest host, Bob from Alaska Blooms.
What up, Fairbanks?
And on today's Growers Corner, we are going to be covering the Fairbanks Cut. And our guest on the bus today is Quade.
Happy to be here, Kemp.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of your greatest influences with the MJ industry and, you know, how you've, you know, basically got to this point.
Greatest influences?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, like, are we talking on the cultivator side, on the grower side, or
yeah, absolutely, yeah. What inspires you the most, yeah, to get in this wonderful industry?
I've been really inspired by a lot of the growers around here because they have it pretty hard
around
here with all the taxes that they have to deal with and how much they have to produce and how much it costs to be able to grow all this. It's, you know, a pretty hard industry to get into and maintain. And being able to see, you know, how happy they are coming into the store almost every day and, you know, being happy to put out the product, it's pretty inspiring to see.
Well, you got a pretty good grower right there next to you, Bob, with the Alaska Blooms. So.
Oh, you work over at Alaska Blooms?
Yeah, I'm one of the owners.
Oh, nice.
For Alaska Blooms. The cultivation side is, it's tricky, you know. It's you never know what you got until 3 months later, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, so now you have a cultivator as well, correct, at the Fairbanks Cut, and that would be Aurora Blaze.
Yep, we're partnering with Aurora Blaze.
Nice. Now, how many strands basically does that, you know, they produce or, you know, cultivate?
I don't know how many strains they're carrying at the time. We get from them, on average, maybe 8 to 12 strains from them.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Just depends on what they have in harvest.
Right. And do you have any of, you know, what's some of your favorite strands that you carry inside the store?
There's a strain called Blue Gorilla. It's really good. Blue Dream crossed with Gorilla Glue. Very nice. Beautiful buds.
Very, very nice. Uh-huh. And Crystal, have you been down there and checked out a store at the Fairbanks Cut yet? Have you seen that? It's pretty nice and posh.
I have not yet, but I'm definitely getting on that. From what I hear all around town, that it is a really nice dispensary to go to.
It's a cute shop.
Right. Very nice. Well, moving right along, could you explain the differences with the indica and the sativa for the listeners out there that kind of, you know, I know it's a general question for all of us. It should be very elementary, but we do have listeners that always were wanting to learn the difference between CBD and the different strands, and definitely indica and sativa.
Well, I was taught this probably when I was like 15 or 16. Indica in the couch, sativa clean to house. That's how I've always remembered it. It's the easiest way, just to know that indica is going to be the more relaxing, you know, chill, lay back, marathon the office for 3 hours, and then, you know, sativa is going to be the more get up and go to work. Get rid of all the chores that you've been putting off for the past couple months.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And, Bob, could you explain a little bit what the hybrid is of those two?
The hybrid is just a breeding between, you know, indica and sativa, whether it's 60-40, 50-50, 70-30, you know. It's just mixing the two to give you a varied response from consuming it, you know. There's a lot of times, like, some of the hybrids will say that they're 70% sativa, 30% indica, but as picking through the phenos, you can actually find one that shows the indica trait but has the sativa smell. A lot of times, the more sativa you breed into it, a lot more of the terpenes and that you're going to pull out, a lot more flavor and stuff in the bud. So it's just a mixture of the two. Where it comes into it is actually picking the pheno out of the seeds, you know, and finding which one of those phenos grows good, tests well, and has a good response with the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can have beautiful bud that tests great and smells great, but if the response from the public is not what they want, then you have something, a product that doesn't move. You know?
And then that's what really makes both of y'all kind of unique, because y'all have your own controlled, I guess, own, you know, pretty much growing manufacturer, I guess, mm-hmm. per se, versus some dispensaries to where they don't have that and they have to, make different deals with different, companies, and, they're not really associated with your own in-house grow. And I think that's pretty dynamic that you can control your quality.
For sure. You know, like in mine, and you can control your quality, by growing it yourself. You get a little more lenience in how you're trying that, because there's a lot of strains and phenos that we picked that out of the gate were really great, right. But it actually took them like 4 cycles before they became magnificent, and it's like watching them. So we'll go into this a little bit. What happens is when you're growing a plant like that, the plant will actually genetically drift.
Wow.
To where the surroundings and the soil and how you're tending to it, that plant will drift from one grower to the next grower according to its environment, It'd be no different than you moving from Siberia to Florida. You're probably going to lose a lot of parkas and get some shorts,
Right, exactly.
Same thing, the plant will drift until it finds its, homeostasis where it's happy.
Understandable. If you're joining us, this is The Buzz on KFAR Radio, and our guest is the Fairbanks Cut, and we're talking about dispensaries and on-site consumption and all kind of things. Go ahead, Quade.
So something that, I don't know if you've noticed, but something that I've definitely noticed is some of my favorite strains have been accidental phenotypes, strains that you didn't expect certain effects and traits to come out of that. Have you noticed that?
100%. The best seed is the one found in the ashtray. Yeah. It really is, right? It's no joke. The best seed is a lot of times the one that you least expect, And then some of them are, it's in the mixtures. There's a difference in when it comes to cannabis seeds. A lot of people buy a 10-pack of cannabis seeds. They take them home and they grow them, and they might get one male or two or three males, and they get this spread of females.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into it industrial or commercially,
wow.
You start with a breeder pack of 200 to 500 seeds, and you're searching for certain phenos. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, here's one, Heavy Duty Fruity. They sell those seeds. I went through about 175 seeds, and every time I'd grow it out, it would smell like diesel fuel and cure into cheese. And it's where's the Heavy Duty Fruity?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the last pheno comes out where it's solid fruit and actually tested in 20% and grows. And it's but it took 270 plus seeds to find that one seed.
Wow.
And here's where a lot of that comes in, is what people don't understand is it's $240 for that test on each seed to find that one, And then it's expensive endeavor to find really great strains. It's hard. It's expensive.
It definitely seems like a pretty hefty fee.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you too this, and primarily, Quade, I know you're going through some stuff with the on-site consumption, and what do you think the hardest part about, being in this industry is?
I guess consistency, because like he was mentioning, it's pretty hard to pull off the same strain with the same effects each time, and a lot of people are looking for that same high that they found a couple weeks ago, and they're just trying to find, oh my gosh, this stuff I got last week was so good. But, oftentimes people aren't growing that one strain enough that you'll be able to have it on the shelves every single week that you come in,
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Not to cut in, but the other thing that happens is you pull out a great strain, just whatever, Gorilla Glue number 4, and then this guy's growing Gorilla Glue number 4, and you buy it, and your customers really love it, but then you buy Gorilla Glue number 4 from a different vendor, and everybody's like, what is this? Explain this to me. What are you doing? It's not me. It's how it switches.
The biggest problem I've run into that is with Blue Dream, because Blue Dream is probably one of the most popular strains on the market that you'll find anywhere.
Definitely.
And there have been so many people that have claimed to have a strain, they'll just call it Blue Dream, even if it isn't, just because that's what's going to sell. And so you get people that are like, oh, this isn't that Blue Dream that I had. And it's like, well, who knows what that Blue Dream really is.
You're absolutely right. And that's the good thing about
blueberry.
Exactly.
Well, like a lot of the customers don't understand is that to have true Blue Dream, if you tell me you started it from a seed, you obviously don't have it because the true Blue Dream is a cut only off of a lost pheno, you know. It's it's the only way to get the true Blue Dream from back in the day is by actually taking a cut off from that mother plant, because there were breedings, but they won't be the original Blue Dream. It's just the same mix, you know, that they're trying to come up and saying, hey, this is Blue Dream. But the truth of it is the first Blue Dream that came out is a cut only plant. That's the only way to get it is to get a cut. There are no seeds to it.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. You know, one of the things that that I've noticed far as going to some of these dispensaries and looking, you know, like you said, you know, the Blue Dream, you're going to have different inconsistencies as far as purchasing. I ran into that with one of my favorite strands called a Dark Star. It's good for sleeping. And I forgot what exactly cultivator did a very nice job with it. And then there was another one, and I cannot recall the name, but it was totally opposite effects, just not even the same plant, the color, just smell, you know, and that can be very frustrating, especially with the prices that are out there today. Uh-huh. And do you start to see that kind of taper down a little bit within your dispensary? Do you start to see the prices start to taper down, or they're pretty consistent? Or
definitely. Fairbanks is probably the most competitive market that I've noticed in Alaska.
Wow. I know both of y'all have some pretty good prices, and that's why I like to go and shop at y'all's places and have you on the show, of course. I really enjoy supporting what y'all do. I think there's a lot of merit in what y'all do. I believe that y'all are very good stewards of this industry, and y'all show them how to run these businesses quite well. And you know, the next half will be definitely getting to the on-site consumption. I'm just ready to just really dive into that today. But it's, you know, I could just imagine the, you know, what it's like with the tax codes and everything. You don't have any write-offs whatsoever. It's just, you know, I don't see how you'll do it from a business standpoint. I mean,
well, there's reasons for that, right? I mean, it's I'll be honest with you, you know, large cultivators are suffering. A lot of even small cultivators are suffering at this point, where the price of wholesale product has went to, you know, puts the tax rate at a 33%. And, you know, a lot of other states do have that 33 to 35%. Washington, Oregon, they have it, but it's at the, it is at the register to the customer, not to one particular branch of the industry.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob, you hold that thought. Coming up on The Buzz will be Pop Politics with the Fairbanks Cut, and we'll be talking about on-site consumption. And we'll do that right after the short break on KFAR 97.5.
The Buzz on KFAR Radio will continue right after this short break.
Aurora Apothecary, Fairbanks' number one source for all things CBD. To be clear, CBD is not marijuana, and it's legal in all 50 states. We carry your favorite brands, such as Select, Creating Better Days, and Green Roads, plus many more. Whether you want a natural way to deal with stress and anxiety, pain, or even sleep issues, do it the natural way with CBD oils and products from Aurora Apothecary, just off 2nd Avenue near Cushman Street, and let us help you.
You're listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. The Buzz, brought to you by Aurora Apothecary on 2nd Avenue.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana for use only by adults 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
And now, back to The Buzz on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM.
Welcome back to The Buzz. I'm your host, Kemp Linkford, and we are talking with Quaid on Pop Politics. Well, let's talk about the tax code, Bob.
The 280E for the cannabis companies?
Absolutely. I, from my understanding, there's no write-offs with that. There's no incentives or anything of that nature.
No. The way 280E gives the guideline of what the cannabis companies are actually allowed to write off, and, you know, like on the cultivation side, I see the huge difference, because prior to this in my life, I owned, you know, a dairy farm and a beef farm, and I've had a couple businesses, and I've been down what you can write off, you know, and a lot of companies, you know, a lot of instances you're writing off work clothes, tools, you're writing off expenses on your vehicles, you're writing off, you know, luncheons, right, and different things. And with the 280E, you're allowed to write off anything that touches the plant, which means, you know, dirt, gloves, very limited things, you know, having luncheon meetings, none of that stuff is write off, you know, work clothes, none of that stuff's write off, you know. It's just a very, very strict set of rules of what you can write off. And it's actually a joke. What it is it shows that they're trying to make it look on the facade like they're giving us an equal chance at it, but the truth is if you read into it, there is no equal of nothing, you know. That's what it is. It's just more ways for the government to consume that money.
Absolutely. So, Quaid, what was the reasons for your on-site consumption being denied at the Fairbanks Cut?
So, we are in the same building as G2 Construction. Mm-hmm. And in order to have an on-site location, you have to be a freestanding building.
Right.
And so I know that we got permission from G2 Construction to have it in there, but they didn't see that as enough. I know that we're going to be repealing it, though.
Very good. Mm-hmm. I hope y'all do.
I do, too.
I hope that goes well for you.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you think had we had either, you know, the seat filled that either, you know, I believe Vivian Stiver was up to grab it or something like that, or she was appointed, but she was voted out, the one that Brandon Emmett was removed from. Mm-hmm. Had you had someone in that seat, you think it would have went in your favor?
Absolutely. It was a 50-50 vote, so we were pretty positive that we were going to get it. And because it's a 50-50 vote, it doesn't count as the majority, so we didn't get it, unfortunately.
Anything to hold it up, you know. I mean, I really feel for you on that, because the voters have spoke over and over and over and over again. And what happens is the stigma that comes with cannabis is so dwelled hard set into people that they're like, no, this is a problem. This is an issue. Listen, it is a dispensary. So let me ask you, if you're a freestanding, this would be my question to the board, if you're a freestanding building, what about the building that's right next to you and you have an outside on-site consumption? Are you going to deny that person because there's a building next to them? Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. If you have permission from the person that's in the building with you, then let it go forward. It's the honest truth of it is, if you looked at how long on-site consumption was fought in getting regulations and getting it, the state did not want it, but they have to do what the voters ask, right? So now it comes into just let's regulate it to death and deny them all and, you know, let's go forward with it. Instead of saying, hey, this is going to be the greatest thing in the industry, let's get it going and set it up, right? I mean, come on. In L.A., they're already setting up cafes, right?
Yeah.
They started a year and a half behind us, way to lag on it, Alaska. You know, it's like this is bringing us in tons of money, but let's not let the left hand talk to the right hand, you know, and go forward. Here's exactly what I get, and in the conversations that I have with the people that are in place, this is exactly what I tell them, is that you are running an industry that you know nothing about, and you're making guesses that are totally wrong about an industry you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the inspectors come in, they know what to look for, what's on this paper. You know, I mean, come on, they don't know what to look for to say, okay, hey, you know, this is kind of strange and this is kind of weird. And hey, what's going on over here? They don't know, you know, they have a check sheet. Are your cameras up there? Oh yeah, you're good. Oh, hey, is this here? Yeah, you're good. They don't even look at your foods. They don't even look at the stuff. They don't even look at it. It's in there. They're regulating an industry that they know nothing about. They were not raised in it. They were not informed in it. They've never been into
Absolutely.
It. It was a job that was given to them in a paper with a checklist on it. And my thought on that is, you know what? Buck up. If you're going to build pianos, hire a piano builder. If you're going to regulate an industry, find people from the industry
Absolutely.
And have them help set up the regulations
on
it.
I couldn't agree with you anymore, Bob. You do definitely need to be a subject matter expert on this if you're going to be, you know.
No, you don't. Well, you don't even need to be a subject matter. You need to be a person that has consumed cannabis in your right. life.
Well, I meant far as all these rules and regulations and stipulations and all these red tape you have to go through, they need to be somewhat proficient at what they're doing when they're forming these guidelines for everyone to adhere by.
Actually, here's what I think is I think you should take Big Pharma and mm-hmm. put a person that has never taken a pharmacy pill in their life and treats themselves organic and put them in charge of distribution of the pharmacy pills and how they're made and what the regulations they are,
there you
period,
go.
Right? Exactly. If we're going to do this, then we should take a person that has never drank alcohol a day in their life and does not use it, does not consume it, and put them in charge of the alcohol rules. You know, this is the, you know, this is the backwards way of it. Oh, listen, I've never consumed cannabis. I've never grown cannabis. But guess what? I'm going to do your inspections and I'm going to make your regulations. And it's like, you don't even know how to regulate it.
Right.
You don't even know what's bad. I've actually had a person in AMCO say to me, but, you know, if you do this, won't that person get high from the secondhand wow. smoke? No, you don't get high from the secondhand smoke. I actually had them bring the Red Cross into the borough building in here and state that smoking cannabis causes cancer. My thing is, show me the proof.
Oh,
Where's
absolutely.
Your proof? Because this is all just nonsense that you're making up.
So, Quaid, how was you notified about your application getting turned down, and what was that like for you?
How were we notified?
Yeah.
We were notified in the meeting that we wouldn't be getting accepted. They took the vote publicly. I wasn't able to attend. I was working at the time, unfortunately, but I wanted to see how that was all going to go.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. Well,
it's unfortunate that there's so much control over something that people know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question, Quaid. After all the time and energy that goes into drawing up that application, right? I mean, obviously, it takes your time and it takes your energy and it takes away from other things that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any kind of, you know, like my thing, don't you feel like there should be some sort of a recourse, like an automatic appeals
yes.
to state more things with AMCO? Because the way I see it right now is like you spend all this time and energy on no matter what it is, you hand it into AMCO and they say, nope, that's just the end of it. And all
Absolutely.
Your time and everything is wasted, you know, and my part about that is like, listen, you're already wasting enough of the industry's money. Let's go forward, and there needs to be something that comes back to the owners that are actually taking the time and jumping through 25 firing hoops to ask for all this stuff that they're asking for, that when they say no, there has to be an automatic appeals. You know, I've asked a few of them, who's your boss? Well, I don't have a boss. Well, wait a minute. So you're equal with the president? There's no boss? Like, you don't answer to anybody? No, I don't, you know, and it's like, hey, where's any kind of a thing that shows for a dispensary or a manufacturing or a cultivation license, any of these licenses that spend time to fill these applications out that I don't think should be just ruled on a no and that's it, because it's on what, four people's word?
Mm-hmm.
Four people that don't even smoke. Great.
Well, we are appealing it, and like,
it should be automatic appeals on there. They should already have you scheduled for
definitely.
It.
Definitely. That would definitely be more helpful. But we were also the first people, I think, on the agenda to try and get approved for on-site consumption. Mm-hmm. And I think they were trying to be more safe than sorry in that regard.
Yeah. One to talk to is Phil. Phil, he's on that list, too. He was like one of the first ones that filled out something, and mm-hmm. he had an issue with it, Christopia. Maybe a person to talk to.
What are your concerns in the wake of Alaska's budget cuts and its effect on the cannabis industry, more especially your dispensary? And
well, from what I've seen is that with the budget cuts, it would dissolve the AMCO office, and instead of having a board, it would be all assigned to one person, which would definitely halt our progress as far as our industries are concerned. Not just ours, but also the alcohol board as well.
I definitely see that. Like we were talking, and if it does, because what it'll do is it'll put the lean back onto Commerce, and you know, yes, it would. But at the same point, it would standardize us more to like other businesses, you know, where there's not this, you know, quite so much. It's this is the application, fill the application out, you have the job.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, I do understand that it will put a stifle on how fast things happen for a little bit. But once that chunk is dissolved down, I think that it would actually speed up things. Because it would be more standardized. It's like going and getting a business license, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go get a business license. I can have a business license in 4 hours, you know, if you really get with it and try to. But it takes you, you know, 8 to 9 months to get a license through AMCO, you know, and there's a lot of other ones. It's just they say that this is so touchy and so this and that and everything. But it's not really much different than trying to get a permit to drill oil up on the tundra, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, you show enough income, they're giving you whatever you want. I mean...
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely this is going to affect your business not having this on-site consumption. I mean, you're in a very good prime location out there, Quade, and, you know, it's very detrimental.
But we're going to get it soon.
I believe y'all will. Definitely if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah,
Can't wait for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do y'all, you know, talking about some more politics, what do y'all think the about this upcoming presidential election? How do you think that's really, really quick? I know this is a very vast subject, but how do you think that's going to impact the federal legalization or regulation of cannabis in the next year, 2020, and down the road?
You're not putting the jack back in the box.
Mm-hmm.
You can get any
president. The train is here. Woo-hoo!
You get any president you want, and they try to shut it down, and you're going to go on to state rights, and there's going to be an issue. The only thing this is doing is moving at a snail's pace towards federal legalization. Once they get on the board, then we'll be able to catch up. You know, I mean, it's one time in my life I wish I was a Canadian citizen, right? You know, they're moving forward. Let's do this.
Well, a lot of the presidential candidates are also pro-cannabis, and that's a really good plus right now. And that's a first as well.
Right, right. Well, do you have anything you would like to add before you wrap it up?
I need a second on that. Didn't have an answer prepared.
No, it's all good. How about you, Bob? We're getting down toward the closing of the show.
Yeah. Stay lifted, Fairbanks. Keep going to the stores. Check out the product that's there. Ask questions. Get involved, because what's happening is the state is got the marijuana industry and they're fumbling it. The left hand's not talking to the right hand. It's like the Fairbanks city going around asking everybody, oh, I need you to get a license to sell in the city. Why do I need a license to sell in the city? Doesn't that dispensary that buys it already have that license?
Absolutely. You know? That's just, you know, I really hope that you get your on-site consumption.
I do too. It's going to happen.
I'm really excited.
I'm not too concerned about it. Just a roadblock. And something that I guess I would say is definitely support all the businesses up here. We're all on the same team. You know what I mean?
For sure, 100%.
Absolutely.
And stay educated, because that's honestly what's going to help us, you know, going forward for sure.
Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to do it for the episode of The Buzz on KFAR Radio. Join us next Saturday at 12:30 as our guest will be Sean McDowell from Fairbanks CBD. And listeners, if you are out there at the fair, definitely stop by this weekend and check out our booth out there with Frontier CBD. And we'll be discussing next week CBDs. And until that time, this is Kemp Langford for The Buzz on KFAR 97.5 FM. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. The Buzz has been brought to you by Aurora Apothecary, downtown on 2nd Avenue, for all of your CBD and hemp needs. To hear this show or others, simply log on to KFARradio.com.